The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another week of gambling, making some cheese at your man's behest. Let's go ahead and take some more cash out of his wallet. Let's get after it. K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com. To my left is Kyle Gregory. I don't need to introduce the man. He's great. He's a great handicapper. He's been on both sides for a long period of time. He's been handicapping ball games probably since he popped out of the womb. Down the lower right side, Case Kiefer, of course. He's the executive director and chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. He is right there with everybody out there. The hooligans getting ready for March Madness and everything else out there. Does fantastic work for the Las Vegas Sun. You can check him out online. And, of course, who's left? There he is, Kip Kiefer, the man who does the starting lineup every Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock. We're going to be on all the way through March Madness this summer. And then get ready for college football, which appears, by the way, looks like maybe not this season, but certainly in 2026, we will have 16 teams. I'm just going to bypass 14 because with the SEC getting four in and the Big Ten getting four in and two for the ACC and for the Big 12 and then another, there's going to be no room. So they're going to have to add something to have some at-large stuff. So we'll start right there quickly. Are there any bets, by the way, Case, you can make on whether the tournament will go 14 teams, 16 teams? Is Kansas joining the SEC? What the hell's going on, man?
I mean, I'm probably a bad person to ask about this because I haven't really followed that much. I want the games and tell me when they are and I'll bet on them. I'll say maybe if you dig enough on the offshore, you could probably find some crazy exotic items. Although I always get a laugh when these like stupid bets get so much public. That's why they post them. They post them for publicity. Sure. Like if you try to bet these, the absolute maximum, some of these sports books, and it's all offshore. I mean, Vegas in Nevada, especially, is the gaming commission's very tight on what you can post. It basically has to be, anything has to be decided in a box score. But anyway, besides the point, these offshore lines, like you can usually bet like $20, 50 absolutely max on these crazy things.
Let me ask you, back up just a little bit before you start rolling, because you're so good at what you do. What dictates whether Vegas will put a prop bet up? What is there any parameters? Are there any lines? I mean, obviously we just went through the Super Bowl. There was all kinds of things up there. And yeah, you talk about these bets, you know, how long will the national anthem last? And this, I know people want to do that. And it's fun. It brings new people to the table. But what are there any parameters that have to be in place for Vegas to say, let's make this a bet?
Yeah, well, none of that is, and people are always surprised to hear that. None of that stuff, the national anthem, the Gatorade, none of that stuff is in Nevada. It's actually in a lot of states now. A lot of gaming control boards are a lot more lax and just kind of let the sports books run the show, unfortunately. That's why we're seeing so many problems in the industry of people not being able to bet, is because they're pretty much self-policing themselves. It's a whole other tangent we get on. But Vegas, yeah, it pretty much is. It has to be something that is settled in the actual box score by the actual league that the official league stats can say is true. So none of that stuff can be posted in Vegas, but they get the craziest possible ideas.
So we could bet on over-under on attendance because that's in a box score.
I guess you could. Yeah, I've never seen that posted. I think that would be a thing where they would have to submit it to a lot of the things that are kind of a gray area. They have to submit. And it goes up to the gaming commission and they discuss it and ultimately decide if they'd post it. But I would think that one is one they could actually do.
All right. March Madness is right around the corner. We're about a week out from the actual month of March. Of course, the SEC tournament kicks off on the 12th. It's going to be unlike any. You can make an argument the SEC tournament is March Madness. Before we get into that, let's find out how our numbers are doing. I've been pushing that 68-67% number. Am I close, Guy?
Last week, 28-15, year to date, 178-82-3. And just, you know, I've just been following Cuckoo for the last 2 weeks. And look, he's making it rain up in here. He's just going nuts. I'm handicapping games, looking at all this stuff, getting prepared. I'm going to throw it away and bet whatever Cuckoo says.
I said I'd never be on a show where someone's flashing $100 bills, and it just happened. I was always hoping to be me, but yeah, to see one of us flashing that kind of jack up, that is good stuff. That is great.
Cuckoo is the definition of a blind squirrel finding an acorn occasionally. Hey,
brother, you take it all you can get. Lord knows I've been on the other side of it. So I'm glad someone, and by the way, people are like, how the hell, one of my good Catholic guys stopped me after church. He's like, you need to stop talking about all that damn gambling. And then he said, what do you like in March Madness, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Because Catholics are about as hypocritical as it gets. We love to drink and gamble. And I said, well, here's how we do it. I said, we got four of us. And I said, and Case kind of is got the lynch, the linchpin, if you will. If Case says it, then we go with it. Because, I mean, he's in Vegas and he's the man. This is what he does for a living. I said, the rest of us, you can make an argument. We're doing this for a living as well, because this is a business. I said, but you know, we all had to pretty much agree on one thing, And that's very difficult because sometimes you'll have 19 plays, sometimes you'll have three. And it's very difficult because if three of us are one side and one guy isn't, I'm not saying we won't post that play because it's we've got the majority rules. But that's how we do it, and it seems to be working pretty well. So when I do have one of my 1-10 nights, thank God you guys are on the other nine sides.
Because all right, what's our useless Tony Curry fact of the day?
Oh, I'll have something for you in just a few minutes. You know, it's really hard because I love handicapping college basketball. I'd much rather say, okay, you have these two teams. Now give me everything you got about these two teams. It's just almost overwhelming for me. And we talked about this last week. There's 370 something basketball teams, everything from Stony Brook to Levisto State. I mean, I don't even know who some of these teams are anymore. And of course, back in the day, you know, when you met the man behind the dumpster on Tuesday mornings, you only had 30 or 40 teams you could even play. I mean, you couldn't play these other scores. And so it's great that we have this opportunity. But I'm looking for some numbers. But, man, when March Madness, you better believe there's going to be some Tony Curry stats that are going to blow your ass away. It's going to be unbelievable. Speaking of blowing your ass away, what would you say would be an over-under case right now on teams making it in from the SEC? I will tell you right now, it was 14 a couple of days ago. It's 12 today. It was 13 yesterday. It appears South Carolina, LSU on the outside looking in. They'd have to make a run the SEC tournament. Georgia, of course, is one of those last four out. But right now, over-under on teams getting in from the SEC.
It's a pretty soft line. Someone could probably attack me, although the first number that came to my head, it seemed like you just validated. I think I'd have to say 12.5. It seems like there's 12. I mean, you would think almost for sure there's 12. And I think the question is going to be if they get the one extra.
The other question is SEC team or the field? What are you taking to win a championship?
Wow.
You guys won't like this one, but I would actually be strongly on the field. And that's not to say I still think Auburn might be the most likely winner. I have big Auburn future bets. I'm not like rooting against them or anything, but I still think the field should be favored. I think it's going to takes a little bit out of you getting through this SEC grind. I mean, just all these teams are beaten up, and that's not the main reason. I think there's a lot of other good teams that are kind of getting overshadowed because of how good the SEC has been. I think everyone's super high on Duke. So have I. But I think you can make an argument for Duke or Auburn to be the favorite. And I've been beating this drum so much, I don't even know if I'll like them this weekend, but I really think Houston is right there as well. I know no one likes that team because of past tournament failures, but I think that's really overblown. I think this is the best offense they've ever had. So I said it last week on the show, and it might have been unpopular because I know Alabama was like number one or number two, depending on who you ask. But to me, it's Duke, Auburn, Houston, and then everyone else, with apologies to Florida too. I think those three take up such huge equity in who could be the champion. And two of those three teams aren't in the SEC.
I think some people would agree with you too. Certainly Alabama fans are going to be happy when you score 98 and you lose by 12. That's not a good look. They've got to find some defense of some semblance before the tournament starts. Kip, you did the marquee games. They were great. Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, Tennessee, A&M, a pair of two seeds getting after it, Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. You got three teams in the SEC, Alabama, Auburn, and Florida is one seeds, A&M and Tennessee, two seeds, Kentucky, a third. Is there any particular teams in Kentucky kind of sticks out to me right now? Because is there anybody in the SEC right now that you believe is in a little bit of trouble? They're not really playing to their talent level as of right now. Is it Kentucky, or what teams are playing their way out right now?
I mean, there's some teams trending in not the direction you'd like to see them going at this time of year, and Kentucky's kind of in that bucket. And what an untimely assignment this weekend with them laboring a little bit, although I was impressed they got their ship together. Vanderbilt is also a team that's going the wrong way, because 3 weeks ago they were riding high and they're not trending very well. I think their game with Ole Miss is really big. Ole Miss surprisingly is in a better spot than Vandy. So Vandy, I think, has the most to lose in that matchup this week, because Ole Miss's SEC record is actually good. I think it's 8-5, where Vanderbilt's is like, you know, 4-9 or 5-8. I'm not sure which one, but, 5-8. So I think Vandy is not really going in a positive direction right now. It's tough. I think there are three road favorites this week in the SEC that all are seemingly solidly positioned, but I think Texas and South Carolina is a really dangerous spot. Also, Missouri is riding high. Could not play a better game than they played against Alabama. They go to Arkansas. I was flipping back and forth, watched a lot of the Arkansas-Auburn game. Calipari has Arkansas playing at a real high level now. I think that's a real tough spot that Missouri, and they are solidly in. They're not in any danger. But I think there's some teams that are vulnerable on the road this week in the SEC. And the other one is Mississippi State also, who is really coming together. Case was right on target here in the last couple of weeks of saying this is a dangerous team that's in going in the right direction. But they're on the road this week, too, at Oklahoma, who seemingly is terrible. But, you know, that's another SEC road game, and there's no easy spot. Could you guys believe South Carolina is 0-13 in the SEC? They have come so tantalizingly close to three or four major upsets this year. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, every single week, it doesn't matter. It's a lot like college football outside, say, Vanderbilt and Kentucky back in the old days. We used to wash them up and say those were easy wins. But, I mean, every single game, it's rough, particularly when you're on the road. You mentioned Texas. I think they're an interesting squad, too. First of all, it's their first year in the league, but at the same time, I think they're sitting about a 10 or 11 seed right now. So they're not on the bubble. They're not.
Yeah, dirty, and I don't think they're very good.
I don't know.
Case disagrees, but I don't like that team very much.
What do you think about Case?
I hate that team. I don't like them very much. I have a very low opinion of Rodney Terry. I think he was the right place at right time when all the Chris Beard stuff went down. So talent wise, I think they're pretty good, but I don't trust their coaching. And I mean, they're banged up now too. I mean, I know Kaluma left the end of the Kentucky. I think they haven't played since Kentucky a week ago. I think their six man's injured too. So this is going to be an interesting game at South Carolina, but I agree, not high on Texas overall.
I think a lot of people are going to be looking at the Saturday games, and obviously we're recording this show here on a Friday, and of course this podcast will be up a little bit later on this afternoon, so you can certainly check it out. Tony Currier Radio, you can listen to the show. We play it five times between now and Saturday tip-off, and of course you can also find out wherever your podcasts are. We're going to be live, I promise you, next week. I'm looking forward to it on the Coastal Sports Network, which covers the East Coast all the way up to Boston. We're looking forward to that, including 102.9 Fort Myers out of Florida, which they're stationed out of, so we're really excited to be on part of their podcast. So we're going to be going to an hour and it'll be live, so it's gonna be a lot of fun. So you guys gotta behave yourself. Any particular games? We'll just assume we're watching or hearing this on a Saturday. Kyle, we'll start with you. Just a plethora of fantastic games, and yeah, we're getting near the end of the season. I think that in case you could certainly hop on board, it's a really interesting time of the season because a lot of teams you say are playing for seeding. It seems like more teams are playing not to be seated a little lower. I'm not really sure where we're at. You're resting some guys. It seems like everyone just is a foregone conclusion with 2.5 weeks left. We've got our four number one seeds. Any possibility they could change, Kai?
Those four number one seeds are absolutely changing. Alabama has played their way out of a one seed, in my opinion, right now over the last week. And you know, they're still one of the strongest teams. They just have to figure out how to play defense. And let's be honest, Case and I disagree a little bit on this. Nate Oates has not coached defense well since he's been in Alabama, in my opinion. He gets a lot of great shooters. They run a good offense. They do not run a great defense. And so I think there's that. You know, we got five road favorites this week in the top 25, more than likely. A lot of the lines are not out, but you're looking at five road favorites on Saturday and then another one on Sunday when Purdue goes to Indiana. I mean, Purdue's going to be favored in that game. Some of these games, just starting.
You guys, hold on. You keep talking about road favorites. When you say road favorites, I sense a smirk there. What are you saying? Danger game?
Well, I mean, this is actually the least amount of road favorites in the top
last double digits. Last week.
Only five of them. So, I mean, like Tennessee is probably going to be favored at A&M this weekend. That's a road favorite, you know, that I'm looking at. A&M misses a lot of shots. They had 19 turnovers against Mississippi State when they played. Tennessee does not have a great offense, especially on the road, but defense travels, you know, so I don't know who I'd play in that game, but I know I'd play the under. Oregon and Wisconsin. Now Oregon's not going to be favored over Wisconsin. Wisconsin's been playing great lately. Here's the Tony Curry fact. Wisconsin has one loss at home this year, one, and it was to Michigan in overtime. Oregon's lost four of their last five on the road, giving up 80 points a game. I'm interested to see what that line's going to be just there. Mississippi State, Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma played their way out of the big dance by losing at home to LSU.
I think so.
I know they're still in there as one of the last four in,
which I can't understand. They're 3-10 in the league.
I don't see how you put a team that's that far under 500 in the league. I don't care if it's the strongest league. And all it's going to take is one, maybe two upsets in a conference tournament for them to get bounced in reality. And I think, I don't know who they have left. I didn't get that deep into it because they're so far down. I only looked like the top eight teams in the SEC. But I mean, that Oklahoma's lost five in a row, including that bad home loss to LSU. 3-10 their last 13 games. You know, they look at that and when they get in there. So they're really going to have to do something here lately. And I don't think it's a great with Mississippi State coming in. That Mississippi State is going to go as Hubbard goes, but their rebounding edge is going to go there. So like that. And I agree with Kay. I really have fallen in love with Kelvin Sampson and this Houston team because they've always played great defense. But for the first time, he has guys that can knock shots down. He has rebounders. They are an incredibly dangerous tournament team come tournament time. They've got one loss at home this year, and it was in overtime to Texas Tech. I really think this weekend, if the line's below 10 against Iowa State, and I love Iowa State's guard play. When they played Auburn in the year, I like them strictly because of that. I think Houston is going to be a big winner here. Some of the other Ole Miss Vandy. Can Memorial Magic happen again? I was really high on Ole Miss two or three weeks ago, but I don't like the way they've been playing. But Vandy's lost their loss 4 of 5. Okay, but their losses were Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, and Florida. Four pretty good teams. But Ole Miss beat Kentucky when Kentucky was missing two starters. So that's their win in their last five games. So how far does that go? I feel sorry for Georgia this weekend. Auburn's coming off a 4-for-24 last night. They only beat Arkansas by 7. I really think you're going to look for a bounce back there, just like I think Alabama's going to bounce back because they were, 5-of-25 against Auburn at home?
5-of-26.
Now they're back at home after not playing well defensively at Missouri. Looking at that, I think there's Clemson, SMU. It's another top 25. I think Clemson's going to be favored. At SMU, I don't think it's going to be huge. But going through that, I don't think SMU is a great home court advantage. They've lost 4 games at home already this year. Now Clemson comes in.
Let me back up a little bit because you're going to run through the entire schedule. This could be the Kai Gregory show. It's great. I love the fact you're doing. You mentioned
that's
Kelvin
great
Sampson.
Stuff.
It's great stuff. I hate Kelvin Sampson. I think he's a creep. I mean, I go all the way back to his Big Ten days. I think he's a big fucking rat. I really do. I mean, he tells on people and stuff like that, but there's no doubt he's a hell of a coach. The thing that Houston does well, and again, we're not seeing this with Alabama, you've got to play some semblance of defense. You've got to play something. And if you're putting up 98 points like Alabama did, you're just assuming you're making shots. And if you're making shots, you should be able to set your defense up at the other end of the floor. If you're scoring 55 or 60 points, you're missing. There's a lot of rotation there. And of course, there's a lot of transition. I get that. But when you score 98 points and you give up a 110, man, somebody's ass needed to be whipped. And I'm going to be really interested to see how Auburn performs just because they're coming off a major high and a good week. And of course, that Auburn Alabama game was huge for them. First time that a 2 seed actually lost in the 6 prior matchups or the 5 prior matchups. The 2 had already won that matchup. And then, of course, Alabama, I just want to see. Nate Oates is turning into me a player's coach, and that's dangerous to me. He seems like he's in love with his players, and he should be. They're great guys, but I want to know what he instilled in them to get them to not put up 90 against Kentucky, because I'm waiting for Kentucky to have somewhat of a bounce back game themselves. They've been playing down the last couple of weeks. Your thoughts, Kip?
I think Alabama's the best bet of the weekend. I just don't see this team losing 3 games in a row. I don't think they played a poor game at Missouri. Defensively, yes, but Missouri was just out of their mind. And played enough basketball and seen that when even in pickup games, you think, oh, we're gonna run these guys off the floor. But guys are pouring in shots and throwing up reverse. you know, layups.
Everything was going in.
Impossible. Yeah. I mean, basketball is still a game about putting it in the basket. And no matter how technically versed you are or what a good plan you have, sometimes you're just going to give up a lot of buckets and lose. I mean, I know that's really elementary. I thought for a road game, Missouri just, I think one thing, if I'm an Alabama fan, I'm a little distressed with, they've got to get off to a better start. They can't get behind 12 and 13 to nothing. I think Auburn scored the first 11 points in that game Saturday, and Missouri was up 13 to nothing before you even blinked the other night. And if you're playing like digging yourself out of a hole all the time, I really think that's a problematic thing. One thing I want to point out too, one thing I have been consistently right about on this show, I told you guys about a month ago, Georgia is phony. I've seen this before. Georgia wins a couple games at home and people start talking about Georgia being a tournament team and going to break the 20 something year drought. I told you they don't have anybody who can score and they don't have anybody who can handle the ball and they'll never win a game on the road. This Auburn game for them is like last stand material. If they beat Auburn, it's the golden ticket because they will be in the tournament unbelievably because they're not very good, but I don't see any way that's going to happen because I'm going to stick with what I said earlier in the year. This team is athletic. This team can throw down unbelievable, spectacular dunks, block shots, but they really don't have the fundamental ability like the last 10 or 12 years of Georgia teams. Good athletes, good players, but just not a consistent winner. And I have been, if you all remember last week, I said Missouri was the best bet of the weekend going into Athens. I knew they were much better than Georgia. I had friends of mine text me, "We're going to the Georgia game. Dogs are on the bubble. It's a big one. We got to beat Missouri." And I said, don't get your hopes up, fellas. And turned out to be right on that. So I really like Auburn and Alabama at home, both those games this weekend is where I hang my hat. And I have the feeling South Carolina 0-13, I say they take down the Longhorns this week. I just don't think Texas at South Carolina. South Carolina is the, this is not a Tony Curry stat, but it's the Dew theory. I mean, this is not a bad basketball team. They're going to beat somebody at home. And I think Texas is in a bad spot here.
I think I agree with you. I love everywhere you're going and your play of the weekend, of course, the Alabama Crimson Tide. I know a lot of local people are loving that case. What will be the line in that Kentucky Alabama game? And then I want you to give me the futures on the national championship. Give me your top six or seven teams that is Vegas has as far as in odds on to win a championship. And then tell me what you think as far as in some dark horses, maybe some good odds.
I can just read off what I don't have any lines up for college basketball yet. I know we had Auburn, Alabama already at this time last year. I guess it's such a big game. I see FanDuel starting to post a little. I do have my SEC numbers again, though, which I can read off really quickly. Yeah. I have Tennessee, a 1.5-point favorite at Texas A&M. Mississippi State, 2.5 at Oklahoma. Vanderbilt, 1-point favorite. Hosting Ole Miss. Auburn, 17.5 against Georgia. Wow. Florida, 9.5 at LSU. Alabama, 8.5 hosting Kentucky.
Oh, wow, I only guessed 4.
Wow.
I
mean,
that's your line.
Yeah, this is my. This is all,
yeah, yeah,
all
I know.
Lines.
I know
yeah,
that.
8.5. I mean, the big thing for me is Kentucky. I'm extending a little bit of grace. I think it's easy to figure out what's going on with them. I think you look at the on-off data, like Lamont Butler is like the best player in the nation. When he's not playing, they're just not the same.
That's for
like
sure.
Seems like they're pretty tight-lipped if he's playing or not this week, but maybe 8.5 is a little aggressive, but I would be absolutely shocked if this opened below 7.
That's amazing.
No below 7.
Well, does that change your plays on Kip at all? I mean,
that tempers my enthusiasm. Let's put it that way.
You got time to back off if you want. Don't do it, baby.
I'm going to stick with Alabama
Attaboy.
Because I think they're going to just be just a team possessed, but that was not the line I expected the case of forecast. So we'll see where it comes out.
Over 185.
Yeah. I like that. Alabama might go over it by themselves. So
no doubt. Okay. So what's odds on what's futures got as far as in winning a national title in Vegas right now?
Yeah, just to be a completist, I also have Missouri only a 1.5-point favorite at Arkansas and Texas 2.5 at South Carolina.
Tight line.
I had to call up the odds, and of course I called up Circa, where they don't have them in order of they have alphabetical, but
that's fine.
I think I can look pretty good. Auburn +325, Duke +375, Houston 8-1 now. Alabama 11-1.
You like Houston? And if you say one of these and you like it a lot, say the word. You like
Florida 9-1. I mean, I wrote this in a story I always do after the Super Bowl of the best futures on the board. I actually think I talk about it on the starting lineup tomorrow, so spoiler. But I said the best bet right now and the best odds available are Houston's 10-1 elsewhere. I just think that's a ridiculous number. Again, I think Auburn and Duke are more likely champions, but this is all this is all math based. I just think their probability is better than 10-1. So if I had to make a bet right now, it would be Houston. Luckily, I have all three of those teams covered. And this is why I always stress building that portfolio early and getting in on teams. And I know we've had some disagreement on Alabama, but and as much as I like Nate Oates, I'm just not that as high on this Alabama team as the market. And Kip can attest to this because my brother, his other son, obviously went to Alabama. Like the last 5 years, I've had future bets on Alabama, whether it's the conference, whether it's to get to the Final Four of the national championship. I've loved this Alabama team. This year, I just feel like the market kind of caught up. I just feel like they're a little, even at the beginning of the year when everyone was slobbering on Alabama, I said the one thing that really stood out to me was their depth. I don't really think their top-level players are quite at the level that they have been the last year. I think Sears kind of hit just the absolute heater at the end of last year, but I was kind of skeptical of him hanging with, in the Naismith Player of the Year conversation. So I just kind of have tempered expectations on Alabama this year. I think they'll have a better teams coming. I do think this is a great spot for them this weekend, but it's all number dependent. I mean, I'm not betting less than -7. And like I said, I have them 8.5.
And do you guys agree on Alabama? A lot of it is which Grant Nelson is going to show up. Yep. He can be a dominant player or he can be invisible.
Another huge piece to their Final Four run for sure. He had that who'd they play last year in the Sweet 16. He had like his breakout game. So yeah, I agree with that.
Any other games you guys looking at, particularly for Saturday? And I know it's a little different than college football because we have a full plate of games every single Saturday. We're obviously going to be doing this show. We'll be doing it live next week. So you'll be getting the games right at the back. K4wins.com, K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Free site. Check it out. Subscribe to it. We're going to start writing some blogs and all kinds of things on. It's going to be really good. So we'll look forward to that. Maybe we get a link to Case's great writing with the Las Vegas Sun. We absolutely love his contributions to the show every single week. But any other plays that are hopping out to you guys or anything else you want to add to the show before we let her rip?
It's just so hard without the numbers, obviously, but I'm like a broken record. I talk about this team so much, but I think the game that really stands out to me is Iowa State at Houston this week. And as much as I like Houston, I might be off. We'll have to see what the number is. I have Houston a 7-point favorite. I know Kai said he'd be all over Houston at anything less than double digits. I mean, if it's 10, I'm betting Iowa State for sure. I like Iowa State a lot too. And I feel like these teams play really similarly. I know Kelvin Sampson's a lot bigger name, but I think Otzelberger has a similar philosophy. And I could just see this being like kind of even though I've praised Houston's offense up and down, it's a lot better. I think this could be like an old school, like run down the shot clock, throw up a shot, fight for the rebound, rock. But I feel like this could be low scoring. I would certainly expect Houston to win, but if it is closer to double digits than the 7, I have it. I actually might be looking at Iowa State on the road there.
Kai, what you got?
You know, I think my favorite bet might be if I can find something that for Duke not to make the Final Four. I think besides Kansas, Duke might be the most overrated team in the country. They play in a crappy conference with no competition. And I just don't like them. I do think Cooper Flagg is a very good player. He's young. Duke is young. I just don't think that is good for them in tournament. With tournament experience, you know, they don't have it. If they come up and now if they get in the Final Four and they're against an Alabama, maybe because of the lack of defense. But I think if they play Houston, they get beat pretty good. I think if they play Auburn again, I think they get beat pretty good. There are some teams that scare me. I'm still really liking Alabama this week. I mean, keep in mind that Kentucky's lost 3 of their last 4 on the road. And I think that's big. And I really think Alabama needs a bounce back game. Just like last week, I can't remember if it was Case or Kip talking about how, I think it was Case talking about how he really thought Alabama was due for a bad shooting game. Mm-hmm. And a bad game. And that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
That's exactly what happened. And I just think Alabama is due. If Mark Spears will shoot more outside and stop driving when it gets tough, and he goes inside and he just seems to throw 4 or 5 layups up in a game when they get tight. And he can't do that. And yes, I agree, driving to the goal, don't get me wrong. I've taken inside. I think that's really good. But you know, there's that to worry about. I still like Alabama, and I think that I think Duke's going to win this weekend, but depending on what the what that spread is, because I think it's probably going to be double figures for sure at Illinois. I kind of like Illinois in that game to cover. I don't think they're going to win, but I'm liking Illinois in that game to cover.
Kip, I'm going to let you take it to the farm, man. You got South Carolina already, Auburn, Alabama, your play of the week, despite the fact that it could be 7.5 or 8. Well, I can't wait to see what that line is now. Anything else piquing your interest?
Yeah, again, I probably put too much emphasis on home teams, but I really think Missouri played a perfect game. They're going to Arkansas. Calipari has the Razorbacks by all the experts. They say they're in, but if I'm an Arkansas fan, I'm not totally secure at this point, because I think Kai mentioned it. You go to Nashville and lose the first game of the tournament, and all of a sudden, you know, with an upside down record in the conference, you might get vulnerable if somebody in some of these other leagues makes a run and starts taking some spots. I think if Arkansas beats Missouri, they're in. They're the hungrier team in this game because Missouri's in no matter what. They've already proven everything they need to prove. The Alabama win cemented that. So I don't think the urgency for the Tigers is going to be there like it was last weekend at Georgia or this past week at home against Bama. So I like Arkansas to spring the upset there too. And Case said the line's going to be right around the Pick'em area. He guessed Arkansas. I think you said 1.5, Case. So I like that. I think the Hogs get it done over Missouri at home.
K4wins.com. Hey,
real quickly, Tony, and think about this as you're looking at this. So Missouri's remaining schedule might actually be easier than Florida's, and Missouri's number 5 in the SEC right now because they have left Arkansas, South Carolina, Vandy, Oklahoma, and then they finish with Kentucky.
Yeah, now, they might be playing for the bye. Yeah.
If they go 4-1 with that, they get the bye.
As opposed to Alabama's schedule.
And you skip, and people might not realize, in the SEC, you skip 2 rounds.
Yeah, there you go.
By getting a bye.
I wanted to throw out, since Kai asked for these odds, I have Duke as a straight pick on -110 both sides to make the Final Four.
Wow.
Huh. Wow. Well, there you go. And
that's telling right there with no juice on that. -10 both ways.
Are you going to make a bet right at the show?
Yep.
K4wins.com. K4wins.com. Go to the website. It's free. Get on there and subscribe. We'd love to have you on board. And of course, we're going to be doing the show live next week. And the more listeners we get, the more shows we do. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you.
Enjoyed it, fellas.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.